Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Ooh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. How's everybody this morning? Are you doing good? Look at that line back there for the kids. Come on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Everybody's going to Sunday school this morning. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hey, 2 weeks ago, I think I talked a little bit about, does anybody remember? I talked a little bit about rest. Amen. You guys remember that? How many of you actually went home, took an extra hour to rest? Did you? Nobody?
At least.
Oh, come on. Oh, there's a few hands, man. Come on, man. Hallelujah. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Hey, that wasn't my idea, guys. It really wasn't. That was the Holy Spirit speaking. He was saying, he goes, hey, I want my people to rest. Take some time and rest. How many of you actually got off your phone for an hour? Got your face out of your phone. I like that. I mean, I didn't come up with that last Sunday. That come up out of my spirit. That was the Holy Ghost. Get your face out of your phone. Hallelujah. How many times I used to tell my kids that? Get your face out of that thing. Come on, man. God is trying to get our attention. How many know that this morning? Hallelujah. God wants our attention. How many know it's a good thing to give God your attention? Your full, undivided attention. Is that good? How many of you know that's a good thing? Because I will tell you, when you give him your full and divided attention, he says, he that draws near to me, boy, I'm going to draw near to you. Come on. Hallelujah. And I love drawing near to God. How many of you love that? I love getting up here Sunday morning, man, sensing the Spirit in the worship, sensing God moving in the house. I love it. Hallelujah. Can't get enough of it. Hallelujah. But I'll tell you even more. You can do this all week long yourself, personal. Amen. Your personal, your walk with God, man. Hallelujah. That's what we're talking about. That you spend time with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Rest. I'm going to tell you again today because I feel the Lord speaking. He wants you to rest. Take an hour out of your day. Pull an hour out. You might think you cannot do it, but you can. How many know that? Yeah, you can. Oh, man. Amen? Come on, man. Hallelujah. God wants you to rest. He wants you to rest. And in that time, sit down and let your mind go just to what God is doing for you, through you, in you. Hallelujah. God has great things for you. Amen? But somehow, I don't know, I think sometimes Christianity today has kind of lost its focus. I mean, we're good with certain things to a point. We sing songs like certain songs, like, you know, hey, I worship you to a point, but then we release. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? We actually release. We let go of the things to go along our busy week, our busy day, or whatever. And we release those things. And God's saying, I'm not trying to get you to release anything. Walk with me. Do you know that we are living under an open heaven? Do you remember how God would come into the garden? He'd walk with Adam. Remember that? That's the same. That ability is right now. You can do that with the Father. You can do that with and He sent His Holy Spirit to teach you that. Look, I'm here for this, that you might walk with Him. Oh man, I'm gonna have a hard time. I can tell I'm gonna have a hard time getting to my sermons. Sometimes people think that God is not working with you in your job, but He is. He is with you all the time. He said, I will never leave you, forsake you. Is that right? Amen. Not until he says that in His word. So, I mean, when you go to work, does that mean, well, He stays home in bed? No, He doesn't. He's with you. I remember at work, man, I started noticing things that I was a planner. What I would do was we would do schedules for guys for work and stuff. I started noticing something that I would remember. All of a sudden it'd come to my mind about a certain part. And it would be like, let's say, I know ladies and guys, some guys know what a lantern ring is, but it's a piece of a pump. But anyway, I would think a lantern ring. And then I just keep working. Later on, a few days later, whatever, guys would come to me and say, hey, man, we need a lantern ring. I go, oh, man, I should. I started realizing that God was saying something to me in my work. Amen. So every time I'd get a random thought like that, I'd write it down. And when I got a chance to get away from my desk, I'd go to the warehouse and I'd look at some of these things. Man, everything that he was telling me was things that I needed. It was crazy.
He's awesome.
That's God.
So God is involved with everything you do. I remember there was one time when these mills were at the mine. They've got these huge bearings. They're about this big around and about that wide. And they got a big shaft that goes through them. Anyway, I heard him say, mill bearing. So I wrote it down, went over there and checked. There was two. All we need is two. The mill only takes two. But I had come to the point where I said, every time God says something to me, I will go ahead and follow through with what he was telling me. Do you know it's important for you to follow through with what God's telling you? Do you know that?
Absolutely.
I didn't just say, well, God was wrong. There was two of them in the box. But I went ahead and ordered another bearing. I mean, these bearings are like $15,000 a piece, isn't that right, John? They're expensive. My boss can be, hey, what's going on? I said, well, I feel like we need another bearing. Well, wasn't it a couple of weeks, these guys pulled this shaft out and they went to put new bearings on it. One of the brand new bearings was cracked. They pulled it out of the box. It was busted from the factory. But Henry had ordered a bearing. Come on. Can I tell you something? See, that's the way the Lord is. You think that God's not involved with your life. Oh, he is. He's absolutely involved with your life. A lot of the things you're thinking, you're getting from him. And you don't even recognize it. You think, oh, it's just me. Come on, man. That's not you. Ooh, I'm talking to somebody here. God is involved in your life. You are under an open heaven.
Amen.
It's open to you. You know why? Because the blood of Jesus. Jesus died on a cross to open that connection so you can have what he wants you to have. He's trying to get it to you. But we're too foolish to think, oh, that's God. Sometimes I get frustrated with myself. You ever get frustrated with yourself? I said, Lord, man, because you know God says something to you, and then you go around the corner or whatever, and you go, God was talking to me about this. How many have done that before? You say, God, man, and I didn't listen. See, God's trying to get you, look, train us to listen. Listen. Look at your neighbor and say, listen. Now look at the other one and say, you too. Come on, man. It's time to listen. Amen. God is desiring to speak to us. Hallelujah. He's involved in your life. Hallelujah. So when he says he wants you to rest, take the time to rest. Get some rest. Seriously, get some rest. Some folks are having, in these days right now, they're having heart problems. Why? Because they cannot rest. They don't know how to rest. God is saying to the body of Christ, I want you to rest. Take it easy. Ooh, glory to God. You watch. Today's message is the flow of God's will. How many say amen to that? The flow of God's will. Do you know that there's a flow of his will? Hallelujah. The more you listen to it, the more it will flow. The more you ignore it, what happens? Come on. We're going to talk about that today. Talk about the Apostle Paul. The flow of God's will. I'm going to use this to bring a commercial, if you don't mind. Hallelujah. Hey, we're going to have men's retreat. And guys, hey, sign up. Get your day off, man. Say, you know, it's just a Friday and a Saturday. And a lot of guys have Saturday. Just say, hey, man, I'm going to make it to this retreat. Because this is a time when we're going to go after God. We're going to listen for God. We're going to say God. Because I believe that every time this church opens, God's got something to say.
Amen.
Every time we have like a retreat, God has something to say. And he's trying to strengthen and build you guys. Hallelujah. So allow that to happen. Make yourself available, if you will. And you watch. Let's just see what happens. Is that right? Is that Pastor Eli? Is that right? Come on, man. Pastor Eli, stand up just a minute. This is going to be our speaker for the camp. Everybody just give him a hand. Hallelujah. I know God's preparing him. I know it. He did a Wednesday night the other night, man. I heard some things like, woo, come on, man. How many like to hear things you haven't heard before? How many of you like to hear things that maybe you heard before, but it comes in a different flavor? How many of you like that? Man, I love it, man. See, that's the Holy Ghost. Rebecca was talking about a freshness. How many of you know it's time to get fresh? Hallelujah. Eat fresh. What's that? Who's that? Subway? Is that Subway? Eat fresh. I say, come on. You're right, bro. The word of God. Let it be fresh in your spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. So guys, hey, if you can't make it to the men's retreat, we're going to have a great time. We're going to believe God. Hallelujah. If you will, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to start at verse 9. 9 through 13. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The flow of God's will. I'm not sure just how much, but I know God has been loading me up with his will. He's been talking to me about his will, about how God's people need to understand what his will is. He's been showing me scriptures and more scriptures and more scriptures. So I got a feeling, I'm not real sure, but I got a feeling we might be in this for just a little bit. But God wants us to know, because God has been building. He's been building. There's a flow of healing. There's a flow of refreshing. There is flow of the waters of life coming towards you. But the flow that he wants you into, he wants you to get, I think he's wanting us to come to the understanding, is that there is a flow of his will. That when we begin to take a hold of his will for our lives, how many of you know the Bible says that to take up your cross and follow Jesus? Is that right? What does that mean? It means the same thing that Jesus did before he went to the cross. He said something like, Father, not my will be done, but your will. Your will, Father. And then we pray it and we say it, but do we take a hold of it? I believe that's what God is saying to us this morning. Are you taking a hold of what he's got for you? Because if you are, if you realize something, that he has given you something, you're not going to let go of it. Can I tell you that? When he's given you something, you never need to. I'm going to say, when it gets down within you, you don't want to let go of it. Is that right? When he said to me, by my stripes, you've been healed. When he said that to me, I'm never going to let go of that. I don't care what my body has to say about it. My body, between my body and what the word of the God of the Lord says, there is no contest. My body loses every time. Every time. By his stripes, I've been healed. See, I've taken hold of that. It's time that we listen and listen intently to what God is saying. Because he says, my will for your life. Can I tell you, the will of the Father is the greatest thing that we can ever experience. How many know that? Do you know that? It is not my will that any would perish, is what he says. Is that right? He says that all would come to repentance. That's God's will. I said I wasn't going to say it this morning. I'm going to say this one. The word of God says that in all things give thanks, because this is the will of God concerning you. Do you know that? It's his will concerning in everything to give thanks. Now, what about when you stub your toe at night? Oh, yeah. And you break that little puppy? What does the word of God say concerning that? In all things, give thanks. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can you? Does the word change for you because of what you're going through? Does it change? Does his will for you change because of what you're going through? It doesn't. It doesn't. We have to be comfortable with the God that we are serving. Is that right? We have to trust him in all things. Is that right? Hallelujah. I got to get to my message. But somebody here is drawing things from me. I can feel it. God is speaking. God is speaking. Hallelujah. Let's look at this. Here's the word. It says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. I Say this with me, everybody. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
You're supposed to read that with me. Come on. Let's go. Let's go. Hallelujah. How many of you know this prayer? I was raised as a Catholic, so this prayer was one of the first ones they taught me. The other one was Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. And I won't go the rest of it because it changes things. But these prayers were part of our lives as growing up as kids. And when we said, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. I just didn't realize the words that were being said. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Didn't realize a lot of the stuff that was in this thing. This is the prayer that Jesus said, after this manner, pray. Pray this. Pray this. Pray this. Can I tell you, when the body of Christ begins to pray this with an understanding of what God is saying, things are going to change, and things are going to change rapidly. How many know that? How many are in for rapid change? Not me, Pastor. I hate change. Hallelujah. You don't know how many comments I got on the orange pillars. Come on. Hallelujah.
They're beautiful, brother.
That's right. That's right. I don't like change. Come on. But I believe when we begin to pray this prayer the way God intends us to pray this thing, see, we don't realize that we're saying, God, let your kingdom come on the earth as it is in heaven. We don't realize that. And one of the other things we don't realize is that he's saying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And that affects you personally. It has to affect you personally. It has to be something that's within you that said, God, your kingdom come. In this little chunk of earth, how many of you know you're made from, you're a chunk of earth, is that right? I don't know how many pieces of minerals or whatever. I guess somebody knows, I heard it somewhere that you're only so much minerals. But in this chunk of earth, Lord, let your kingdom come and let your will be done. Hallelujah. And I have found that when I listen to what God is saying, I have found that his will is exactly what I want to do. There's scriptures, and he's been talking about the will of God, and it says it is his good pleasure of his will. It's in the good pleasure of his will. I didn't put these down for this because I really believe it's for God wants us to talk about it. But the good pleasure of his will, can I tell you, it is a good thing to step into the will of God. It really is. How many of you know that? Some of you have done that before. You've stepped into the will of God, and you've spoken to somebody, and they've got saved. You stepped into the will of God and you prayed for somebody and they got healed. You see? And what do you do after that? You do a little, come on, somebody, come on, yeah, hallelujah. Makes you feel good. Why? Because you stepped in the will. See, there's a good pleasure in doing his will. There really is. And we sometimes just don't think about it, but God wants us to do his will. He wants us to understand what he has for us. Glory to God. I want to look at the power verse if we can put it up. It's Colossians 1:9. This is the power verse for today. This is what it says. Sorry, I kind of threw the guys a curve. It says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of what? The knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. See, we all ask for wisdom. God, give me wisdom. Give me understanding. But God is saying here, Paul the Apostle is talking to the Colossians, and he's saying, I want you to be filled with all spiritual understanding and the knowledge of his will. See, God wants us to know. Without a doubt, this is what God has for me today. This is his will, not mine. I will do what God has called me to do. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's look at the Apostle Paul, because I just saw some really neat things about the Apostle and who he was, and then when he got born again, who he became. And this where I'm going to take you is not in his conversion, because it's a really neat story about his conversion when he was on his way to Damascus and he gets knocked off his donkey. Didn't really say that, but I like to add a little extra stuff in there. He gets knocked down, God pushes his face into the dirt. No, didn't happen that way. Come on. But he sees a bright light and he hears a voice. And he says, and the voice says to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me, Saul? And he says, who are you, Lord? One thing he knew was it was the Lord, because nobody acts like that. Nobody knocks you off the donkey with a bright light. All of a sudden, he knew who it was. He knew it was the Lord. Right. Who are you, Lord? And then the Lord says, I'm Jesus of Nazareth, who you are persecuting. Can you imagine what was going through the apostle's mind? Can you just imagine? So this is where we're going to talk. We're going to go right now. This is Acts chapter 22. We're going to see. Paul is on his second trip to Jerusalem. And it's his last trip to Jerusalem. Because from there, he's going to go on to Rome, and where he spends the rest of his time in Rome. But I just want to look at this and just read this a little bit. Acts chapter 22, starting at verse 1, says this: Men and brethren, fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. Paul had gotten arrested because he was causing a stir. How many of you know the gospel of Jesus Christ will cause a stir? Do you know that? People get a little excited. Oh, hey, calm down. Shut up. No, I won't shut up. Jesus loves you, man. Whatever, you know. The gospel causes a stir. And here he says, men and brethren and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spoke in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he said, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city, talking about Jerusalem, at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God. Was Paul zealous toward God? Absolutely he was. Here's a man in his own mind doing exactly what he thought God wanted him to do. Thought he was in the will of God. Can I tell you that? Can I tell you, a lot of us think we're in the will of God, but God's saying, no, let me talk to you a little bit this morning. Is that okay? So he says, in the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as all of you are this day. And I persecuted this way, talking about Christians, I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. As also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound into Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh to Damascus about noon, suddenly, everybody say suddenly.
Suddenly.
Suddenly, there shone from heaven a great light about me. What time was this? It says about noon. I mean, high noon is high noon. Is that right? How many of you know the sun is a pretty bright light? High noon. But all of a sudden, a great light shone around him. A bright light, something even brighter than the noonday sun. He says, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, who art thou, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spoke to me. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? See, here is the Apostle Paul on his face. Is that right?
Yep.
I believe.
Yes, sir.
Was on his face, on his knees. And the Lord said, I am Jesus of Nazareth. And what does Paul say? What do you want me to do? Isn't that cool? That's a good thing to ask God. Well, God, what do you want me to do? Hallelujah. And he says this. What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, arise, go to Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all the things which are appointed for you to do. And when I could not see for the glory of the light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came to Damascus, and one Ananias, a devoted man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came to me and stood and said to me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. I love this. Come on, man. And the same hour I looked up upon him. The word of God, I mean, Paul is describing his can't see. Ananias prayed for him, brother, receive your sight. And the next thing he could see him. Is that cool? Healed. God had done a work. God was convincing this man. Is that right? Jesus was saying, man, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. And here Ananias speaks to him. He says, and he said, the God of our fathers has chosen thee that thou should know his what? His will. He wants you to know his will, folks. That you should know his will and see that just one and should hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be this witness. Thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now, why tarry thou? Arise, be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Can I tell you, when you call on the name of the Lord, when you ask Jesus into your heart, he will wash your sins away. Is that cool? And here is Ananias speaking to Paul. And I love this. I love this story because Paul is doing exactly according to his own will. His own will. According to his zeal, he went and he got papers. He went and asked for permission to go to Damascus and bring any of the Christians that were there and bring them into the Jerusalem jail to be persecuted, to be punished, and to be killed. He was doing his will. And he thought, he thought he was doing according to the will of God. Can I tell you, there is sometimes what we're doing is not exactly what God wants you to do. Is that okay to tell you that?
Amen.
It is important for you that you ask God, God, what do you want me to do?
Amen.
You've given me, you've saved me, Lord. Can I tell you, if God had saved you just for you to sit back and not say anything to anybody, he might as well have just taken you home when he saved you. Is that right? But the fact of the matter is, you're still on the planet. You're learning about who he is and what he wants for your life. So guess what? He's got something for you. His will work in your life just as it did in Paul. See, this was Paul's last journey to Jerusalem. And I want to just go over some things and let you look at some things. I want to go to Acts chapter 19, verse 21. This is before he got to Jerusalem. I want to just show you some of these, which is really cool because I really love what's going on here. And verse 21, Paul is going around preaching the gospel. In verse 21, he says, after these things were ended, Paul purposed in spirit. Do you see that word? Paul purposed in his spirit. Obviously, there was a purpose placed within him. He purposed in his spirit. And when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem, he purposed in his spirit to go to Jerusalem. That's what that word of God says right there. Saying, after I've been there, I must also see Rome. See, God had spoken to Paul. And you're going to see that if you continue to read there, you'll see that God had said, you'll come to Jerusalem, and then they will, the Gentiles, they'll put you in the hands of the Gentiles, and then you're going to end up in Rome. You're going to, because Paul ends up appealing to Caesar because he was a Roman citizen. And even the Jews told him, if you wouldn't have appealed to Caesar, you wouldn't be going. But now, because you appealed, you opened your big mouth, now you're going. But see, God already had it planned. Do you understand that? See, this is the will of God being expressed to the Apostle Paul. Hallelujah. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Come on. Verse 20, chapter 20, verse 16. I want you to look at this. So after these things were ended, Paul purposed... Oh, Sorry, just a little roll. For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hasted, he was in a hurry, if it were possible for him to be at Jerusalem when? The day of Pentecost. So Paul's heart was, I'm going to Jerusalem, and I want to get there before the day of Pentecost. I'm going to get there. So he had a purpose in his heart, because I'm going to tell you, it was the will of God for this. This is why he was saying this. Chapter 20, verses 22 through 24. I hope you're writing these down. Take a look at this, because it's really interesting. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem. You see his word. He goes, I go bound in the Spirit. See, something had happened within him where he took a hold of it, and it's his spirit. The Holy Spirit with his spirit saying, he says, Matt, I am going bound. My heart is to go and do what God's saying. I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that the bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Isn't that cool? See, he was bound in the Spirit. He says, I don't even know what's going to happen over there. But I'm not worried about it, because it's God's will taking me, pushing me, making me go. Come on, man. Hallelujah. I love it. See, God had a command from the Lord. He had something that God gave him to do. Not to kick back and watch the rest of the disciples just run around and say, hey, man, what are you doing? Yeah, okay, I'll go with you. No, it wasn't like that with Paul. He was bound and determined to do the will of God. Hallelujah. Chapter 21, verse 4, he goes to Tyre. And he says, and finding the disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who Paul, through the Spirit, who said to Paul, through the Spirit, that he should not go up to Jerusalem. Do you see those words? He was told by his brothers and sisters in Tyre that he shouldn't go to Jerusalem through the Spirit. You see that? Can I tell you, the will of God will push through no matter what brothers and sisters are telling you? Can I just say that to you? Sometimes brothers and sisters, because they care for you, will say certain things to you. But the will of God will push and say, no. Paul could have stopped right there when they said, hey, we're talking to you by the Spirit of God, that you should not go to Jerusalem. Paul already had a word from the Lord. I'm going to Jerusalem, and I don't care what's going to happen to me. But I know that I have to show up in Rome. Come on. Hallelujah. So here's a body of Christ telling, oh, man, you shouldn't go. No. How many know that two or three witnesses, everything is established? Do you know that the Word of God says that? Yeah, check this out. Chapter 21, verse 8 says this. You know what, brothers? I'm going to need 21:8 through. Let me just do an adjustment. I probably just wrote down 21:8 because that's what I've got on my paper here too, man. But I'm going to need all the way down to verse 14. Do you have that? Can you do that for me? Acts chapter 21, verse 8, starting at verse 8. We're going to go all the way down to 14. And it says, the next day, we were of Paul's company, departed and came to Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of them of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had 4 daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. Cool, man. These were preaching girls. These girls preached. Verse 10 says, and we tarried there many days, and there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle or his belt and bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owns this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Do you see what's happening? This prophet is telling Paul, this is what's going to happen to you. Paul already knew. Verse 12 says, and we heard these things, both we and they of the place besought him, they begged him, not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break my heart? These people were probably so emotional and so loving towards him. And he says, man, you're breaking my heart. You're crying. He says, but I'm okay. Look what he says. What mean ye to weep and to break my heart? For I am ready to be bound, not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, I like this, the will of the Lord be done. How easy it to say those words, isn't that right? Well, the will of the Lord be done. Okay, Paul, you're dumb. You're going to go to Jerusalem, you're going to get arrested. And who knows what's going to happen to you? You're dumb. But the will of the Lord be done. How many times do we do that? How many times do we say that? Well, God's will be done. God's will be done. What is his will? What's he saying to you? What is his word to you? Folks, we are in a place where we need to know what God is saying to us. Right. We can't be messing around anymore. We are not in a religion. We are in a relationship. And you need to know what he's telling you. Paul's heart, I'm going to Jerusalem, the same city where they wanted to kill him. I'm going, not going to stop me. Paul did go to Jerusalem. They did arrest him. Right after that, when we read earlier, it was his testimony. They arrested him afterwards. And like I say, he appealed to Caesar, and they sent him off to Rome. Exactly what God had spoken to him. Just the way God had done. See, Paul had something within him that drove him. It was the will of God. It was God's purpose for his life, if you will. Amen? Ananias, pray to him that you might know the will of God. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. We need to know the will of God. I know when I first got saved, I was told you need to read the Word of God daily. How many know that? Can I tell you that's the Word of God? I mean, that's a will of God for you, that you might just get into his Word every day. Because Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. See, the Word of God is bread. And Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. So Jesus is also saying you need to read the Word of God every day. So that's what I did. And then, see, I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And I said, oh, some of you guys, you haven't been baptized in the Holy Ghost yet. But I will tell you, this is the will of God concerning you, that you be baptized in the Holy Ghost so that the Holy Spirit can come within, so that you can pray according to the Spirit of God that dwells in you. So you can pray not with your own mind, but with the Spirit of God. And when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, I was told, you need to pray every day. I have prayed every day in the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Ghost. I have prayed every, and I'm not saying to brag, but I am saying that just because I was taught that, and that's what I've done, and because that's the will of God for you. Pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. So I would pray every day, would not set it down, even though I would, okay, I forgot to pray in the Spirit. Okay, God, Gloria Shakabarat. But then once I started praying, something would happen, and I'd get all fired up. The Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Can I just say this to you? When you're praying in tongues, he's praying. You're not praying. He's praying. It's what he's saying. That's what brings to you the things that he desires for you. It brings wisdom and knowledge and understanding with it. Hallelujah. So I got pretty good at doing this. And when I was at the church I was at, I just... I, I was born again. I wanted to do stuff. I never grew up in my whole, up to when I was 29 years old, I never thought I want to lead a bunch of teenagers. Heck no, are you kidding me? I would rather be building an engine, a 350 Chevy engine block, man. Pop-up heads and, I mean, pop-up pistons and fuel-y heads. And, you know, that was my thing. But when I got saved, things changed.
Right.
Changed, changed, changed. Not my will, Father, but your will be done. Hallelujah. And God began to give me dreams and visions. And one of the visions that he gave me was about this house. And he gave me another vision about this house. And I don't want to go through those because you guys have heard them 300 times. But the visions that he's given me, all that I've seen, are happening now. I tried to implement them as soon as I saw them. Tried to do that. Didn't work. See, it's God's timing. God knows what he's doing. Okay. I got my notes here. I had to look at my notes because then it was my house. I was standing at my house and I was looking, and the Lord had told me, he goes, I'm going to give you a house one of these days. I said, yeah, cool, man, God. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, can I like a 4-bedroom? I like 3 bathrooms. And one day, about 10 years later, I'm looking at the fascia board of my house and it needs painting. And I look down at the bottom where it goes around the trailer and I go, it needs to be rebuilt and redone. I go, God, I thought you said you were going to give me a house. You see, I was believing God. And so even in my frustration, even that, I was still saying, God, I believe you. I thought you said you were going to give me a house. Didn't you say you were going to give me a house? And he said, why should I give you anything? Why should I give you more if you won't maintain what I've given you now? But man, I tell you what, that was a word. I said, oh, boy. So now I have been trying to maintain that place. The house he was told me he was going to give me was not a house like we all. It was this house. God has, see, his ways are so much higher than our ways. And his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. My thoughts were a little house, little house on the prairie. But no, man. He was talking about this house.
Bigger house.
Mm. So I still try to fix up my house. How many of you are working on? Can I tell you something? Listen to me very carefully. Maintain what God has given you. Maintain it. Maintain it. Make it look nice. Because you are the vessel of God. And God, I mean, just maintain what he's given you. Maintain what he's given you. Because with this word, he told me, he said, why should I give you more if you won't maintain what I've given you now? Maintain, take care of it. Hallelujah. We're all busy. And now you got to spend another hour because Pastor asked you to take an hour off. We're all busy. Maintain what you got. Because God, these everything that you have are gifts that God has given to you. Come on, man. That's a word. Come on, man. Oh, boy. That's morning dish. I got down morning dishes. Like I said, I was the at the church I was going to. I was the adult Sunday school teacher for 5 years, and when I was doing that, I would study in the morning, or I'd study during the week, and we had weekly studies. I had a book that I had studied out of, and I'd get in trouble because I wouldn't really follow the book. I'd just start going all over the place like I do over here. It's just kind of weird because the Holy Spirit knows. See, people will say, hey, man, you don't stay on track. You don't stay on track. And I say, the fact of the matter is the Holy Spirit is speaking, and he speaks to the hearts, bam, bam, bam. So it sounds like there's nothing good coming out. And it might not sound like it makes any sense to you because you're trying to, but God is trying to speak to the hearts. He knows the hearts that are in the house. That's why it sounds like a rabbit trail, but it really isn't. And like I said last week, if you think that I'm bad, read the Sermon on the Mount. He's all over the place. Talks here, talks there, talks there, talks there. And some people talk about, oh, well, you know, you don't make any sense. You know, you go from here to there, and I lost you. Well, that's okay. Because I believe the Holy Spirit is doing the work. I believe it.
Amen.
So I was a Sunday school teacher. I get in trouble for that. But anyway, One morning I got up, and before church on Sunday, I would always sit down with a cup of coffee, and I'd look at and I'd go through the material I was going to speak on that day. And this particular morning, I sat down at the table. And when I began to study, I heard the Lord say to me, "You need to wash dishes." And I looked over there, because I'm sitting across the dishes, and I looked over there. I don't do dishes. That's Rosie's job. I don't do dishes. And I just kept studying, and all of a sudden I started thinking, what if that was the Lord? Why would anything that's contrary to Him tell me to wash dishes? And I could have reasoned a lot of stuff probably, but I said, you know what? I got up, washed the dishes, went back, sat down. Rosie came out of the bedroom a little later, man, and she looked at me. She goes, "You washed the dishes?" I said, "Yeah, I did." I was all happy. She started crying. Whatever it was, whatever the need was, she needed it. And God supplied it. So let me tell you something, folks. See, I believe that was the will of God. It was something that I did. Can I just say this to you? I still do the dishes every morning. There's been some days that I've missed, but for the most part, I wash the dishes every morning because God hasn't told me to stop doing that. When He tells me to stop, I'll stop, but He hasn't told me. And then he said, "I want you." Then we were in the church, we were at Pastor David Swift's church, and Pastor said, "Henry, Rosie, stand up. I got a word for you this morning." He says, "You are not a minor," which I was a minor. I worked at the mine. "You're not a minor. You are a pastor, and God cannot bless what you're pretending to be." I said, "What?" I go, "Well, no, no." But I felt it. It was like a flaming arrow that hit my spirit. And Rosie's poking me because Rosie had been telling me, "We need to pastor a church. We need to be doing something." So, and when it hit my spirit, I said, "Oh, God, I will do anything You want me to do. Amen. You want me to pastor a church? I got no idea how to do that. I haven't been to seminary, God. I haven't gotten the training, God."
You're training.
Come on, man.
You do what He'll show you.
And you know what? I'm still doing that. Is that all right? Because I know it's the will of God for my life. It's God's will, not mine. I put that down a long time ago. I've got a 55 Chevy sitting in my carport. I can't wait to get to it, but I can't get to it. Why? Because right now, the will of God for my life is what He's given me. And that's what I'm going to walk in.
All right.
Come down to the church, and God said, "I want you to walk around that apartment complex next door." Okay. So I walked around praying. A few weeks later, He tells me, "I want you to walk around that other one." I said, "Hey, that's a gated one, Lord. I can't do that." How many know God will make a way?
Oh, yeah.
I was in the back of the building when He told me that. I walked up to the front. There was a policeman sitting out here. And I walked up to his car. "Hey, man, how you doing, man? I'm the pastor of this church." "Hey, pastor, how you doing?" I said, "Hey, you believe in the Lord?" He goes, "Yeah, I go to this." And he told me the church he was going to. And his last name was Sebastian. I'm not sure if you know him. But anyway, he tells me, he goes, I told him, "Hey, you know, I've got to walk. I mean, the Lord has asked me to walk around that complex there." I said, "But the gated one, I mean, are you going to arrest me if I get up in there?" That's what I asked him. And, you know, he said, "You know what you can do? Just go ask them." I go, "Duh." I said, "Yeah, boy, did I feel about that. Smart." "Boy, you're dumb. Henry, you're dumb." So I went and asked them. I asked these people next door, "Can I pray? What do you want to be praying about?" And I said, "Well, I want to pray that, for number one, that God will bless your business. Number two, that the people, that God will bring people over here. Number two, people will begin to be healthy here, that sickness and disease will begin to get away from them. And the third one, that people will recognize that, understand that, and they'll know that God is doing something. She goes, oh, yeah, absolutely, pray. So I went and I asked the people up, and there was her name is Julie Bledsoe. Went up here, and she was the community manager. And when I talked to the secretary said, no. She goes, well, what do you want to do? I said, well, I like to pray. No, we don't let soliciting into the... I said, I know that, but I'm not going to go knock on the door. But Julie shows up to her door, and she goes, I hear you. She goes, come on back here. So she goes, what do you want to do? I said, well, I'd like to just walk around your grounds here and pray, because the Lord has told me to pray. She goes, well, what are you going to pray? And I told her the same things, and she started crying. And I said, can I pray for you right now? Is there something going on? She goes, yeah, my mom. She's having problems with her heart, and I'm really worried about her. I said, well, let me pray for you. And I prayed for her. She's been a really nice friend up there now. She's really, God has touched her mom, but she's been really sweet. One day I was walking, and I came into the doors here, and the Lord said 14.2. And you guys have heard this before too, but I'm going to say it anyway. 14.2. I go, 14.2. So I'm going through the scriptures looking for 14.2, looking at all the places where 14.2 was there in the scriptures. I could not find anything. I said, God, what are you talking about? So I left it alone. I said, if you want to, you're going to show me, you'll tell me whenever. So I'm walking, doing my walk the next week. And I'm up on this corner right here, Duval Mine Road and the Frontage Road. And I'm standing at the corner, and all of a sudden I feel the presence of God. And I'm waiting for the cars to go by. So I said, well. So I feel the presence of God, and I say, ooh, I don't know what's going on, God, but I know you're doing something. What are you doing? And I turned around, and I looked at this building from over there in that corner I'm looking. And I said, Lord, just bless your people. And when I looked down, there's a sign that says for sale, 14.2 acres. I said, oh, you want the property? Well, God, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It's already yours. He said, but you're going to give it to us? I'm going to pray that. I'm going to ask the people. So keep praying for this property. It goes all the way around us. We need this property. How many know that? How many say amen? I believe God's going to give it to us because he told me. He pointed it out. It's his will. Can I say we're walking in his will here? We're talking about the will of God and what he's got for you. Hallelujah. And he told me to walk the city. Walk the city? Come on, God. Walk the city. He said, I want you to go to the education. He called it the education corridor. And it is Sarita Road, the education government corridor is Sarita Road. And he said, I want you to walk there. I said, okay, I'll walk. Somebody said something to me. Oh, you're just one of those guys that, you know, we want seen by men to be walking on all, to be praying on all the corners of us. I said, let me tell you something. I wouldn't be doing it if God hadn't told me to do it. I would not be doing it, but this is what God's told me. He said, I want you to walk there. So every week, I'm walking. You see, I'm doing the will of God that God has told me to do. I'm doing that what he said. One day I said, Lord, I'm a little tired of walking. This is a lot of walking, Lord. I don't have one of those. My wife's got a Fitbit. I don't have one of those, but I know it's a lot of walking. I said, Lord, I'm doing a lot of walking. I said, can I stop? No answer. How many know when you ask and you don't get an answer, you ask again? You can. So I asked him again, God, I need to know. Can I stop? Just so happened that weekend I was making the message that the Lord had given me for the weekend was about some of a couple of kings, but in this story they were dying of thirst, and the prophet told them to go out and dig ditches, and in the morning God would fill up the ditches. So this is the story I'm looking at. And in the middle of my study, the Lord said to me, Henry, you're digging ditches. You see, and I realized that there's an unusual watering event coming to this city. And God said, you are digging ditches, Henry, because he was answering my question, God, can I stop? So absolutely no, I can't stop. I cannot stop. I will continue to walk. I will continue. I will continue to do those things that God has asked me to do. Hmm. How many know that Rosie and I, we take our turn in cleaning the church? You guys know that? Nobody knows that. Okay, that's cool. It's all right. What do we do? Does the church look clean? Well, we try. I'd love to get rid of this carpet. I'd love to get all the tiles redone. I don't know, but we try to clean the church. But you see, the word that God told me you need to maintain your house is the same word that I'm going on in here. I was asked, hey man, why don't we hire somebody, man? You don't need to be cleaning the church. Out of my mouth immediately came the words, no. Do you know why? Because of the will of God. The will of God to maintain that which I'm walking in. I am walking in the will of God. Can I say that to you? And it's important that you understand that God has his will for your life, for his kingdom. Not just to do. Not just to live here and then get out. But he's got something for you. His will. Not your will. I know this sounds kind of hard, but I'm going to tell you something. So much of us, so many of us are doing and doing and doing, and it's not what God has for you to do.
Right.
He's asking you, spend time in my closet. Spend time in my secret place so that I can speak to you the things that I desire to speak to you so that you can do. Can I tell you something? We can try hard and try hard and try hard, and it doesn't happen. Nothing comes, there's no fruit in it. But when you do the will of God, look at this building. It's the will of God.
Right.
Can I say that to you?
Yes.
Hallelujah. When you step into his will, yeah, you're going to be fruitful. Hallelujah. So I'll clean the church. I like cleaning the church. It's time to pray. Time to pray. Some of you, you know God's already given you something to do, but you refuse to do it. You know that he's called you to do something. But you're going to say things like, I'm waiting for the right time. Come on, man. When God gives you something, you do it. You obey. Obey. Obedience. Obedience is important to God. For me to jump up and do the dishes, I found out how important it was. Oh, yeah. Can I tell you, I had a good day with my wife that day. We're in love again. Come on. Hallelujah. Because God knows the life. Ooh, hallelujah. I got three more verses to give you. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 7. Can we put that on? Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be ye not therefore partakers with them. That seems to be the wrong verse. Ephesians 6, 5 through 7. Is that what that is, Mijo? Oh, yeah, I need chapter 6, verses 5 through 7. I was looking at that, go, what? Now we're really on a rabbit trail. Come on, man. Servants, here we go. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto who? Christ. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ. Then look at this. Doing what? The will of God from the heart. From your heart. Do you see how important it is in doing what God gives you to do? Because when you know it's him, it comes out of your heart. Do you realize that? Doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as unto the Lord and not unto men. Not running around saying, man, I hate cleaning this church. It is horrible, man. You know, it just bothers me to clean that church. That's not goodwill, is it?
No.
Man, goodwill is, God, I'll clean your house. I'll do anything you need me to do. Hallelujah. I'll clean the ladies' toilets. I'll clean the urine. I'll do anything, God. You know what? I don't do toilets. I better shut up. My wife does it. She said, my wife's going to say, I heard you. Matthew 7:21, we better move on. Praise God. Matthew 7:20 says, not everyone that saith unto me, need I remind you of what Jesus said here? Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. He that doeth the will of my Father. See, that who's going to be the entrance of the kingdom. That is going to jack up your theology. Because doing the will of the Father is what Jesus says is the entry into the kingdom. See, Jesus didn't save us just so we can go our merry way. He didn't. He saved us for a purpose. His will is in that salvation. Like Paul said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And one last verse, Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. Check this one out. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Is that right? For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
Let me just say this to you. It's his kingdom. His kingdom. It operates according to his will. Not yours, not mine. It operates according to his will. Ooh, you got to hear what I'm saying to you. You got to catch a hold of what this is. For thine is the kingdom. It's your kingdom. It's your glory. It's your power, God. It's you. Not us. The will of God for your life is available to you if you'll go after it. Let's all stand. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. We'll have some musicians come on up, and glory to God. How many desire the will of God for your life? How many will honestly say, I'm just not real sure what God's will is for me? How many will honestly say, I'm not real sure? Or if you're sure, if you are sure, do that what he's spoken to you to do and do nothing else. We will wear ourselves out trying to do what we think God wants us to do. God is saying, you won't worry, I will supply everything you need when you do my will. My will cause you to be empowered to do my good pleasure, is what he says. Isn't that cool? So I'm going to pray for everybody in the house, and we'll pray that we all do what the Father has called us to do in the name of Jesus. Is that okay? So Father, we come to you right now, Father, and we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that your will is above all that we can do, Father. Your will is that which will empower us to touch this world like it's never been touched before. So, Father, we ask you in Jesus' name that you would create a flow of your will into our lives. In the name of Jesus, I pray. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for coming to church this morning. God bless you. Shake somebody's hand, hunk somebody's neck on your way out. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You could connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.